It is. It's great to be here with you this morning. This is a brand new thing we have not done before. And thank you to Jake Hench and Shannon Fleming. We're in the Hench kitchen this morning. And it's cool to see people popping on and jumping on to be part of this morning with us as churches all around the country are doing this. And thankful for this technology. So welcome. Welcome to Cornerstone Online today. We're just going to jump right in. This is going to be a normal time together. We're not going to have music. I'm going to give you some recommendations afterwards. If you miss the worship that we're just not going to be able to do together, but there's lots of music online. We're going to give you some suggestions. We're in a crazy time right now. So I'm going to jump into a message that I have for you based on what's going on. Here it is. Panic, precaution, preparation, a balanced response to coronavirus. We are interrupting our regularly scheduled program to bring you a special message regarding a global pandemic that's quickly become impossible to ignore. If you're not familiar with Cornerstone, you jumped on and you're not usually with us. My name is Nate Herlin, and this is Cornerstone Live Online. And so thank you, Jake and Shannon, and thank you guys for joining us. This is an interactive, somewhat interactive opportunity. You can see who else is on, I believe, and you can make comments. Everybody can see. If you have a prayer request you'd like other people to know about, just comment, and everyone can see it, and we can pray for one another, and we can communicate with each other. So if you're a regular at Cornerstone, you might notice my voice is a little bit off. Never fear. I checked with my doctor. I checked with the Lehigh Valley Hospital Network. And based on the symptoms, they did not want me to come in to get tested. They're not concerned about coronavirus. It's just a normal cold that I've got, but it's affected my voice. But I am going to lay low for a little while. And so this is another good reason why we're doing it this way. We're available to each other through our devices and our technology. I don't know how you're feeling about coronavirus or the whole situation. Some people feel like it's blown out of control. Some people feel like we need to do exactly what we're doing. But the impact of this has affected everybody in a dramatic way this week, the last few days. Schools are completely shut down for a minimum of 2 weeks. Shopping frenzies. I hope you have toilet paper because you can't find it at the store. Kutztown University extended their spring break 2 extra weeks to give professors time to just prepare for moving online, possibly for the rest of the school year. And for Cornerstone, that affects us. We meet at the university, and since KU is closed, that left us to decide how are we going to handle this? What are we going to do? And the leadership team met and decided we're going to follow whatever the Kutztown Area School District does. And so since they decided to close, we are not going to gather as a public gathering for at least a couple of weeks, and we'll have to see how things go as things play out. So we're talking about this because it's such a big deal all across our country, and because anxiety is already such a common struggle even without a trigger like this. I don't know how many of you are struggling with anxiety over this, but I decided to move away from what I was going to do from the book of Acts and just talk about how followers of Jesus can have peace and respond with wisdom to situations like coronavirus. Does the Bible tell us how to respond to coronavirus? You're not going to find that word in the Bible, but absolutely does tell us how to handle it. So we're going to find wisdom in God's word, and it's going to prepare us for whatever comes our way, however it turns out. So grab your Bible and let's follow Jesus together. And I want to pray together with you. Lord, we're here, and this is a different scenario, different situation, but I thank you that even in our own homes, we can log in and join each other together. And Father, we want to pray for your wisdom, for your help, that you'll give us insight both in a spiritual sense in how to handle this internally, and also give us insight in a practical sense in the way we're supposed to respond in physical, tangible ways too. So, Father, I pray that we will learn and grow and be encouraged through our time together, and that we'll also encourage one another. In Jesus' name, amen. Well, church as God intended responds differently to crises. How are we as God's people supposed to prepare for and respond to coronavirus from a spiritual sense and a physical, practical sense? Where would you go in the Bible to find God's wisdom and how to respond to this? I'm going to suggest that the church as God intended responds differently to crises. So what do you think? Panic, precaution, preparation. How would you evaluate our country and how we're responding to it? How would you evaluate yourself? Do Christians have a reason, good reason to panic in a situation like this? I hope you're not panicking. And I just want to remind you from the get-go, we do not need to panic. If you and I were a product of evolution and God does not exist, then yes, by all means, panic, because your destiny is totally in your own hands. It's entirely up to you. But we're more than that, aren't we? God made us, and he sustains us. God's far bigger than any viral outbreak. We do not need to panic. I'm going to give you several scripture passages, which you may want to take notes. You may want to write these down. I'm going to send them through our email address, our email list, and also we'll post it online on our website, kutztownchurch.com. But the first one is Psalm 46. Do Christians have a good reason to panic? Here's the first reason why we don't. Psalm 46, 1. God is our refuge and strength, and ever-present help in trouble. Therefore, we will not fear, though the earth give way and mountains fall into the heart of the sea. God is our refuge and strength, no matter what's happening. He is an ever-present help in trouble. Therefore, we do not need to fear. The end of that psalm says this, very familiar, be still and know that I am God. I will be exalted among the nations. I will be exalted in the earth. The Lord Almighty is with us. The God of Jacob is our fortress. Another translation says, stop striving and know that I'm God. Stop striving, be still, relax. God is here. He's with us. We don't need to panic. Another favorite scripture of mine is Psalm 103:19. It's right there on the screen if you can see that. Psalm 103:19, the Lord has established his throne in heaven and his kingdom rules over all. All means all. His kingdom is ruling right now. God is not panicking. We don't need to panic. One more passage about this, Philippians chapter 4, very familiar. I'm going to turn to it. Philippians 4, 4 through 7. These are reminders that we need to remind ourselves of God's truth. Philippians 4, 4. Rejoice in the Lord always. I will say again, rejoice. Let your gentleness be evident to all. The Lord is near. Do not be anxious about anything, but in everything, by prayer and petition, with thanksgiving, present your request to God. And the peace of God, which transcends all understanding, will guard your hearts and your minds in Christ Jesus. We don't have to be anxious because the Lord is near. And we've been given instruction what to do. When I'm tempted to worry, pray. Bring it to God. This is a time to pray. And we're going to have times to pray together. We're going to have lots of opportunity to pray about what's going on. So I want to throw a question to you. How can I have peace when I don't know if my family's safe? Let's get practical. Let's get real about this. How can I have peace? Like it says, I can pray and the God of peace will be with me. But how do I know what's going to happen? We don't. And I just want to remind you that the world, as we know it, this life that we have on this earth, it's only a small fraction of our total reality. It's only a tiny piece of the big whole picture of eternity. So yes, we want to take wise precautions. We want to protect our families as much as we can. But are we ever really safe? Some of you have lived long enough and you've been through enough to know that no matter how hard you try, you can never completely guard yourself against any and all harm. But we typically live in the delusion that we're safe. Reality is life is fragile. A French Christian philosopher, Blaise Pascal, said it this way, man is only a reed, the weakest in nature. There's no need for the whole universe to take up arms to crush him. A vapor is enough to kill him. We're fragile. That's just the way it is. Even without coronavirus, we're a lot less safe than we think. So I've intentionally kind of removed this false sense of safety that we live in sometimes. I want to focus on a different kind of safety for a minute. I think this is really important in a time like this. This is an aspect is so much more important than physical safety. Let's make sure our family is eternally safe. Times like this, times of fear, are times to evaluate, am I eternally safe? Uncertain times can help us make sure we're prepared for eternity. Maybe that's for you. Maybe that's for somebody you know, somebody you care about. But are you absolutely certain of your eternal destiny? We can't guarantee that our families won't be touched by coronavirus, but we do know how they can be guaranteed eternal safety with God, which is more important. God made it very clear what heaven's entrance requirements are. We've got to abandon faith in ourselves and replace that self-sufficient pride with faith in Jesus Christ. And if you can't say with confidence right now that you know you will spend eternity with God, and if you can't back up your answer with God's own words, now's the time to clear that up. Some of you are really familiar with this, and it's good to hear it again. Some of you, maybe you're not familiar with this, but the book of Romans lays down a real clear path to help you know where you're heading and change your route if you're going the wrong direction, if you need a different destination. It's called the Romans Road, and these are some of the most beautiful truths in the whole Bible. I'm going to put these scriptures all up on the screen for you. This is the Romans Road, and I love it. It's clear, and it makes sense. Listen to what God has said. Romans 3:23, all have sinned and fall short of the glory of God. We fall short. Our sin creates a chasm separating us from God. It's me on one side, God on the other, and this chasm in between that's created by our sin, our offenses against Him. All of us, we're in the same boat together, far from God because of sin. But the scripture continues in chapter 6, the wages of sin is death, but the gift of God is eternal life through Jesus Christ, our Lord. Those are the consequences of our sin. That's where the chasm is taking us. It's taking us to death. We will fall into the chasm. That's our all of our condition. The wages of sin is death, but there's a gift. Gifts are good, especially from God. The gift of God is eternal life. How do I get the gift? How's that for me? Romans 5:8 tells us, while we were still sinners, Christ died for us. This is how He demonstrated His love for us. While we were still sinners, undeserving of His kindness, Jesus died in our place. He took our place. And Romans chapter 10 tells us, if you confess with your mouth Jesus is Lord, and you believe in your heart God raised Him from the dead, you will be saved. This is the reality. The gift has been given, it's been offered, but it has to be claimed, it has to be received. This is how you receive it. You confess with your mouth Jesus is Lord. You believe in your heart that God raised Him from the dead, and you'll be saved. Saved from eternity apart from God. The Romans Road ends with chapter 10, verse 13. It's an invitation to everyone. Everyone who calls on the name of the Lord will be saved. Everyone. Everyone who calls on the name of the Lord will be saved. And really, that's it. Some people, it sounds too simple. It's got to be more complicated than that. There's got to be more hoops to jump through. There has to be more requirements. But this is what God has said. This is the way to eternal life. You can believe it, or you can try to go your own way. But that's the Romans Road, and that's how we can be sure. And so you think about confidence in the face of death. How can I have complete confidence in the face of death? How can I know for sure that this is right, that this is true? And God's word says this many other places, and one of my favorites is 1 John chapter 5, verse 11 through 13. It says, this is the testimony. God has given us eternal life, and this life is in His Son. Whoever has the Son has life. Whoever does not have the Son of God does not have life. I write these things to you who believe in the name of the Son of God, that you may know that you have eternal life. And maybe you've been afraid based on this coronavirus, not sure if it's going to hit you or your family, but right now we're thinking about something much longer and much more important. You have the Son, you have life. If you have the Son of God, you have Jesus Christ, you can have confidence in whatever happens. Ephesians calls it a guaranteed inheritance. I love that. If your trust is in yourself, your own self-righteousness, your current eternal destination is hell. God doesn't want that for anybody, and I don't want that for anybody. Nobody can earn God's grace and His forgiveness. All of us have earned His wrath. The wages of sin is death. But God wants to exchange what we deserve for what we don't deserve and give us the grace that comes through Jesus. He died in our place, but we have to accept it. We have to receive it. And it's a little bit like when a guy proposes to his girlfriend, the diamond ring, he's on his knee and he's holding it up and asking, "Will you marry me?" The diamond ring and the marriage to follow is hers to take. It's offered to her alone, but if she declines, she doesn't get the ring and she doesn't get the marriage. She has to receive it. She has to take it. The ring is a symbol that she's accepted the proposal. You and I need to accept the proposal from God through Jesus. So if you can't say for sure you've accepted Jesus' proposal, it's time to do that. It is time to do that now. If you're not sure where a family member, where they stand with God, it may be time to have another conversation with them. Walk them through the Romans Road. Go back and listen to this again. Go back to that spot. I have these booklets right here, Knowing God Personally. I love these things. It's really helpful. And I will give you copies of these if you want to use this to further understand for yourself or to share with others. I got loads of them. So you just message me, let me know, and I'll get you copies. But we need to have conversations with people, with our families. We need to lead our families through this time. Our kids, if they're uncertain about where they're going to spend eternity, this is a time to talk about that, to clarify that. So I can't give you confidence that coronavirus is not going to touch us. It probably is going to, it's going to reach our community, but eternal security is even more important. So have those conversations. If my wife, Anne, had not answered me when I proposed to her in 1999, I probably would have asked her again and again and maybe again and again. But if she never answered me, where would we be? I would eventually stop asking. We wouldn't have a marriage. We wouldn't have the four kids that we get to worry about right now. So I say that because I want you to think about, if you have never given Jesus an answer, a no answer is a no answer. And so I want to encourage you, do not delay, do not postpone this kind of decision. Life is fragile with or without coronavirus. Make sure your eternal destiny is secure. Jesus' work has been done. The proposal has been extended. It's your move. So I want to change gears now. That might be for you. You might have needed that, and that's the message you needed to hear this morning. But I want to talk about some of the tangible specifics too. Should we panic about coronavirus? No, we shouldn't. I'd much rather you be panicky about your eternal destiny than your physical safety. So make sure you're on the right side of the chasm in that image. but we want to talk about the physical stuff too. We have to live in this world. We have to respond to life as it comes. This is something none of us have experienced before. The media, the people, the leaders who are over, nobody's been through this before. So what's the best way to prepare for coronavirus and minimize its reach? What should we do? What can we do? Is shutting down the local schools, colleges, universities, is canceling baseball spring training and suspending the NBA indefinitely, is that a sign of panic or precaution? Some people say it feels like panic. We're going way overboard. Other people say this is exactly what we need to be doing. So I want to think about this from both sides of the crisis and then make a couple suggestions. And some of these I've heard other people saying, some of these maybe not. But on one side, the media is not helping. The media is not helping. We have a lot of knowledge of what's going on, but the media in some ways is making it worse. We would not have a toilet paper crisis if the media did not blow that up and show the pictures as much as they have. We wouldn't have the same kinds of problems, the same kind of drama without media kind of twisting things and making it worse. I don't think they're being very responsible with this situation. They're mostly stirring up unnecessary panic. However, on the other side, the information that we have about what's going on is far from complete. What we know from the media, but it's really not much. So you may be asking the same questions I'm asking. If I got coronavirus, would it kill me? If my family got it, would we all survive? We're all asking those questions. And I believe a vast, vast majority of us would survive and will survive, but we can't guarantee that. So do we want to avoid the spread of the virus? Of course we do. Of course we do. So here's what I suggest. Five suggestions. Number one, listen to your leaders. Listen to our leaders. They're doing the best they can to make the right decisions. And this is new to them too. But Romans tells us very clearly, submit to the leaders who are over you. Romans chapter 13. These are just reminders. This is what God has said. Everyone must submit himself to the governing authorities, for there's no authority except that which God has established. The authorities that exist have been established by God. Down to verse 4, it says, for he, the authorities, he is God's servant to do you good. That's why we're supposed to follow them. They are God's servant to do us good. Whether they follow God or not, the authorities are there. They're to serve us. They're to do the best that they can. So since Governor Wolf closed all Pennsylvania schools for 2 weeks, we decided we should cancel our public gathering as well. That would make the most sense to comply with what's going on. Our overall spirit as a church family is this. We want to work together with the community to help prevent the spread of the virus. So listen to your leaders, listen to our leaders, and do what they recommend. So we intend to gather online every Sunday until we can resume our regular services. We're going to do this. If this is what we can do, this is what we'll do. It's not the same. I know. You can't hug each other. You can't sit next to each other. You can't have those long extended conversations. But we know God is going to use this for good. And we're thankful for the tools that we have. So listen to our leaders. That's number one. Number two, limit your media exposure. I know it's tempting for me. I look it up every day. What's going on? What's new? But here's a quote I got from an email sent by a friend. Hour after hour of bad news is just plain bad for us as humans. It's not that we shouldn't be aware and understand what's taking place and how we can best protect ourselves and our loved ones. But at some point, with events such as the coronavirus, our quest to stay informed mutates into living in fear. Some of us need to turn off the TV, turn off the search that's looking for coronavirus news and what's happening. We need to fill our minds with something better. It's okay to stay in touch with what's going on to a degree, but some of us have gone too far, and it's breeding panic and fear. Philippians 4:8 says, finally, brothers, whatever's true, whatever's noble, whatever's right, whatever is pure, whatever is lovely, whatever is admirable, if anything is excellent or praiseworthy, think about such things. Whatever you've learned or received or heard from me or seen in me, put it into practice, and the God of peace will be with you. You can't fill your mind with panicky news and expect to have the God of peace giving you peace. You have to fill your mind with the right things. So limit your media exposure. Number three, take practical precautions. Take practical precautions. This is a virus where there's no vaccine, right? So there are natural and medical ways to boost your immunity. Our family is taking immune support. Like, go ahead and do those things. If your body is already weaker, take precautions. Stay away from large groups. Limit travel. Avoid large gatherings. Keep things clean and don't lick any doorknobs. Just use wisdom. Use wisdom. How many times have people told you to wash your hands? I've washed my hands probably 10 times already today. We can take practical precautions. That's good. Number four is be reasonably prepared. Let me just suggest a 2 to 3 week supply of toilet paper should be sufficient. You don't need enough to wrap your whole house in it. Proverbs 6, verse 6 says, go to the ant. Go to the ant. The ants prepare. Being prepared is wisdom. Proverbs 6, verse 6. Go to the ant, you sluggard. Consider its ways and be wise. It has no commander, no overseer or ruler, and yet it stores its provisions in summer and gathers its food at harvest. I don't know how the ant thinks to do this, but the ant prepares for winter. It gathers food. It prepares. Some of us have been caught with our pants down. Some people don't prepare for anything and go to the grocery store for every meal. We need to be more prepared than that. So we don't need to have a garage filled to the top with canned goods and MREs. But you're not in the position when you need to hit the grocery store every day. We need not be in that position. So get some food together. That's fine. Have a pantry with food in it. But we don't need our own fallout shelter. We don't need a 6-year supply of goods. So that would be overdoing it. We don't need to overdo it, but we should be prepared. We are not in an apocalyptic situation. This is a sickness. it's worth taking seriously, but it's going to run its course and we're going to be okay. That's the reality. The news wants to make it an apocalyptic situation. It's not. It's not. The last one, I think, is probably the most important for us as followers of Jesus. Remember, our primary goal is not self-protection. As followers of Jesus, our primary goal is not self-protection. What's our primary goal? It's serving God and His kingdom. It's responding to what's going on with God's mind and God's heart. Matthew chapter 6 tells us God's going to take care of the things that we tend to worry about. Matthew 6, verse 25. Many of you have heard this before. We just need to be reminded again. Therefore, I tell you, Jesus is speaking, do not worry about your life, what you will eat or drink, or about your body, what you will wear. Is not life more important than food, and the body more important than clothes? Look at the birds of the air. They do not sow or reap or store away in barns, and yet your heavenly Father feeds them. Are you not much more valuable than they? Who of you, by worrying, can add a single hour to his life? Just outside the window, there's a mourning dove nesting. God is taking care of that bird. God takes care of us. Verse 31 says, do not worry, saying, what shall we eat? What shall we drink? What shall we wear? For the pagans run after all these things, and your heavenly Father knows that you need them. But seek first his kingdom and his righteousness, and all these things will be given to you as well. Therefore, do not worry about tomorrow, for tomorrow will worry about itself. Each day has enough trouble of its own. And we can all say amen to that. Our primary goal is not self-protection. Our proper response to this is not to bury ourselves in a hole and disappear for the next month. That's not what God calls us to do as Christians. I want to share with you an example. The Chinese church had no warning. We've had a warning. I don't think this problem is going to be nearly as bad here as it was in Wuhan. But there are Chinese Christians in Wuhan that have responded. And I want to share with you it's just a short audio clip that is an example of what was going on, how the Chinese Christians responded to this. So hopefully this technology will work, and I'm going to give it a try here.
More Christians running into the plague. For the Colson Center, I'm John Stone Street with The Point. Facing both increased persecution and the coronavirus, Chinese Christians would be forgiven for going underground. Yet according to a CBN report, Christians in Wuhan are out in the streets. They're giving masks and saying that they are Christians and they share the love of Christ. World Magazine also reported how members of one Chinese church have been ministering to medical personnel, delivering food and supplies to quarantine families, leading a dying woman who was visiting Wuhan to Christ, and then filming her memorial service for her family back home. The transcript of the service has already received tens of thousands of page views. These believers are following in the footsteps of Christians throughout history, such as those who during the time of the Roman Empire ran into the plague, ministering to the sick and dying, even as thousands of Roman citizens ran away. Praise God for this faith and courage. Please pray for our brave Chinese brothers and sisters. I'm John Stone Street.
What an example. What an example. We want to follow the example of our Chinese brothers and sisters. 1 John chapter 3, verse 16 says, this is how we know what love is. Jesus Christ laid down his life for us, and we ought to lay down our lives for our brothers. If anyone has material possessions and sees his brother in need but has no pity on him, how can the love of God be in him? Dear children, let us not love with words or tongue, but with actions and in truth. I hope we can learn from the Chinese brothers and sisters who responded the right way. They're not hiding in their homes until the disaster has passed. They're out there serving those who are hurting, taking risks, and bringing help to those who need it most. And I'm not suggesting we that go about and do that in a reckless kind of way. Stay in if you're not healthy. If you are healthy, you want to help those who need it, proceed with caution. Use the precautions. Wear a mask. If you're working with authorities, you may wear a hazmat suit if the circumstance deems it appropriate. I don't know. But let's not retreat out of fear. Let's respond with active love. I believe that's what God is calling the church to do in this situation. As far as I know, right now, there are no active cases in Berks County. So the situation is maybe more economic as people have been sent home. They can't work. People are without income. But reality is there are people around us who are likely to be infected with coronavirus. They will be quarantined. There will be some who are struggling, who are suffering. As cautious as we can be, it's going to come to some degree, probably not nearly the degree as happened in Wuhan because they didn't have warning. We had warning and we took precaution. But so we can hope and pray that not many will be infected, but we want to be ready for those who are. And remember that people who are infected, that doesn't mean they're going to die. Remember, the best estimates say the virus has a 2% mortality rate, 2%, primarily affecting those who already have compromised immune systems. Their respiratory systems are not as strong. So as this comes through our area, there will be some who suffer as a result. We want to be ready to serve those who need it most. 2,000 years ago, the Apostle Paul was in prison. He was awaiting the verdict of his trial, and he didn't know if he was going to live or die. At the end of the week, he had possibly days to live. And from prison, he wrote these words. And these words are in the book of Philippians. And as I read and I ponder these words, I see words of uncertain certainty. Paul has uncertain certainty in Philippians chapter 1. He says, "For to me, to live is Christ, and to die is gain." To live is Christ, and to die is gain. If I'm to go on living in the body, this will mean fruitful labor for me. Yet what shall I choose? I do not know. I'm torn between the two. I desire to depart and be with Christ, which is better by far. But it's more necessary for you that I remain in the body. Convinced of this, I know that I will remain, and I will continue with all of you for your progress and joy in the faith. If Paul were here today, I believe he would say something like, "I kind of half wish the coronavirus would take me home. I'm ready to be with God. That's way better than being here. But I'm pretty sure God still has work for me to do, so I'm going to stick around as long as God wants me here. But as soon as he calls me, I'm out of here." That's Paul's perspective. And I think you and I, because we have the same God and the same gospel and the same scripture, I think we can walk through this uncertain time with confident certainty, like Paul. As long as we are here, we have work to do. So let's not forget that. Let's not just hide away in a hole somewhere until the disaster has passed. Let's be out there. Let's be looking for opportunities. Just a quick recap on what we've talked about. We're almost done. Number one, we don't need to panic because God is still in charge and he is near. Sorry, I got lost on the PowerPoint slides. We don't need to panic because God is still in charge. He is near. We do want to make sure our eternal destiny is secure and for those that we love. It's a lot bigger deal than this virus. And then on the practical side, what do? We listen to our leaders, do what they recommend. We limit our media exposure. We take practical precautions. We take steps to make sure we are reasonably prepared. But also, remember, our primary goal is not self-protection. It's serving God's kingdom. How are we going to do that? There may be risks that God calls some of us to take as the virus gets closer to home. There may be sacrifices God wants us to make financially to help somebody who's in need, who's out of work for a period. We want to be careful to help reduce the spread, but we want to be ready to go on the offensive, serving those in need, just like the Chinese Christians modeled for us. Church, as God intended, does not ignore what's going on in our world, but our response will be quite different from many around us because it's inspired by the love of Jesus and our eternal hope. I shared a lot of scriptures with you today. It's possible that some of you didn't hear anything new in all we talked about, but that's not the point. This is about applied truth. This is about remembering what God has said in a time when we need to use it and live it out. We've been placed in a unique situation where God is looking for us to apply what we know. And I hope you're going to be ready to do that. Tomorrow evening, Cornerstone's leaders are going to meet to discuss how we can best be the church God intends us to be in our community at this time. And we're going to be posting and emailing some next step options soon. There may be specific things God has for you to do right now. There may be something God has for you in a week. But there may also be some things for us to do together, to partner possibly with our community to make a difference, to make ourselves available, to let people know we want to serve. We want to be involved helping. So I hope God is stirring your heart to be one of those people that's going to want to be active, not just hiding out and waiting, but actively serving in this time of need. If you're not on our email list, you want to be kept up to date, please send me your email address. You can list it in the comments or send me a private text or email. My cell phone number is 610-894-9520. You want to send me a text, go ahead and do that. I want to include everybody who wants to be included. And I'm convinced that God has work for us to do over the next several weeks. So I want to pray and then talk about just what's next. What are you going to do now after our time together? So let's just pray. there's a couple things that I want to think about and really lift up to God. Lord, we thank you that you are with us. Thank you for the courage and confidence we can have in your word from the things that you've said. You've prepared us for eternity, and so we can be active and not be afraid in a time of uncertainty. So, Father, I pray that you will fill each of us. There may be some struggling with significant anxiety that's connected to coronavirus or something else. And Father, I pray that you will wash away that anxiety and fill us with courage to love others well, to serve you as you call us to, as you give us opportunities. Father, give us wisdom to respond to this with your insights. Protect us from panic and fear, and give us courage. And God, I pray that in this time of uncertainty, you will stir those who maybe are not ready for eternity, that this fear will cause them to think about our own mortality and our need to know you and our need to be made right with you. And if there's someone listening today or listening later on that is not sure of their eternal destiny, God, I pray that they will make sure, that they'll talk to someone, they'll reach out for help, and they'll listen to your words and trust you over their feelings, over their own ideas. God, your word will stand. So thank you for guiding us and providing leadership and authorities that are making the best decisions they can. And I pray that you will lead us into this time that we can be the most help that we can. And we pray that this season will be short and that this virus will pass through quickly and not affect many people, and that we can move on. But use this time for good. Use this crisis to accomplish good things in people's lives, and use us to be your tools to do part of that work. In Jesus' name, amen. We're almost done. I just have a couple of thoughts regarding what's next. What are you going to do? What are you going to do now? This has been our time together, and you've only been able to look at me. Jake and Shannon are here, and the Hench family are upstairs, and many of you are listening together online. I don't know how many are there right now. But what do we do now? Before you sign off, one of the things that's such a beautiful thing in our church family is how long we hang out afterwards. And our afterwards is a little bit different today, but you can see who's online right now, who from the Cornerstone family is online. And before you log out, before you clock out this morning, I just want to encourage you to say hi to some people, to chat with some friends, just to engage in some conversation, check in with each other, see how you're doing. Throughout this week, many things have been canceled. Our family schedule is very different this week from most of the time. But during the week, as you're praying for each other, and I hope you are, contact them too. Check in with people. Text people. Call. Stay connected. Go for a walk. You can go outside. Go for walks together. Be in your neighborhood. Use your Cornerstone directory. If you don't have a directory, contact me and I'll get you one, if you need a copy. But let's be out in our communities and with one another, at least through technology, but also out in the open air. Go for walks. Be a good neighbor. Look for opportunities. Ask God to show you, God, how can I make a difference over these next few weeks? I'm guessing some of you would prefer that we were together in person. Most of us would prefer that. We didn't have any music this morning, but I have three recommendations for you. I think, yeah, they're here up on the screen. These are songs we would have sung together, but we're not going to sing together today. So I'm just going to encourage you to go to YouTube, crank up the volume. There's lyrics on these. You can sing along, or you can just let these words soak in. Fearless by Mia Fields. No longer slaves. I'm no longer a slave to fear. I'm a child of God. And It Is Well. Classic hymn. Classic hymn performed by Audrey Assad. It's a beautiful version that's right there online. So jump over to those after you've hung out with some people and stayed connected and encouraged one another, and listen to those songs and be encouraged, be reminded of these truths that we need to hear. God is good. He is with us. The Lord is our shepherd. We shall not want. He makes us lie down in green pastures. He leads us beside the quiet waters. He restores our soul. He guides us in paths of righteousness for His name's sake. Even though I walk through the valley of the shadow of death, I will fear no evil, for You are with me. Your rod, Your staff, they comfort me. You prepare a table before me in the presence of my enemies. You anoint my head with oil. My cup overflows. Surely goodness and mercy will follow me all the days of my life. And I will dwell in the house of the Lord forever. I pray that the peace of God will sustain you and the wisdom of God will guide you as we move forward into this week together. Let's stay together. Let's stay connected. Let's keep our eyes open for how God wants us to serve over this next week. And we will be back together just like this next Sunday. Thank you.